So we miss her, but thanks for your prayers. May I encourage us today to be involved in Jesus' life and for the church this year, because the more we become involved, it will do us better spiritually in our lives and prepare us for things to come. You know, I find it's great being alive in Jesus. Pierre, 2 weeks ago in the Wednesday night Bible study, said and shared with us that Giselle said that she always wanted to go in her sleep. You know, and so Pierre on occasion wakes up in the middle of the night and he kind of nudges Giselle to make sure that she's still around. And so I found that kind of amusing. But, you know, as he shared that, there's interesting the connotations or the things that we connect with in life, you know, because Betty and I, for our little girl, when we went out, like, you know, we weren't sure of raising dogs, because we've had dogs before that they chew the furniture, go through drywall and all kinds of things. So we heard somebody one time tell us, you know, crate train your dog. That way you know where they are and they aren't disturbing your house. So we did that with our dog, Belle. And we often would head out to Ottawa or Montreal or someplace or just coming to church. And Betty and I often said, you know, what happens if the rapture happens now while Belle is at home in her crate? You know, what happens if Jesus comes and we're gone and there she is in the crate? Like, my goodness, we were always concerned about that, you know, driving to Ottawa. What happens if Jesus comes? I don't know if anybody else goes through these kinds of things, but I was going through it. What happens if Jesus comes back? That poor little doggy's going to be stuck in the crate. And so Betty said to me the other day that, you know, now that she is gone, we have to look on a plus on it, that Jesus can come back and there's no worries. Amen. And then I told her, well, maybe that Jesus took our dog so that in order he could come back. So get ready. Hallelujah. Amen. Want to start today on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe that this is something that you and I need to dynamically get back into and emotionally get back into and spiritually get back into. And the reason why I'm saying back into, because I think that we're losing. I think that we're losing. As I hear of other pastors and I read the statistics for our Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada churches, we are a name which is alive, but we are a church that is becoming more and more dead in our practices of which our forefathers were into many years ago. We need to get back to that place of believing John, like we heard this morning, to believe, to come into church to believe and to anticipate and to expect and to know that God is going to do some great things in our midst. Amen? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to read you these first few verses and to bring us back to remembrance, because I'm going to be speaking about these things over the weeks and maybe even months. I don't know how long it will take us, but it's going to be a great time. You know, when Daniel was with us a couple of weeks ago, he heard about, you know, I told him I'm preaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and Pierre is speaking on the book of Acts in regards to the moving of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church, and that on Wednesday mornings, Louise is talking about the Holy Spirit, dealing with a book and from John Bevere. And he said to me, Pastor, the next time I come back here, I'm just wondering what this church is going to be like, you know, talking on the Holy Spirit and teaching on the Holy Spirit. He said, I can hardly wait to get back here again and find out how much you are progressing in the Holy Spirit. So how many want to progress in the Holy Spirit? Amen. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I've made known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Wouldn't you love God's will to be accomplished here today as He wills in the very service that you and I are in? Father, we thank you and we come into this service right now. We've enjoyed it so far. Lord, I've just been drenched in the Holy Spirit. I feel the anointing. I feel the blessing. I feel the blessing of being with the family of God. I thank you for the worship team, the songs that we sung this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord, what a blessing it is to worship you through song and sacrifice and blessing you, Lord. And I pray right now as we are in the Word, let your Word refresh us. Let it stir us. Let it make us tremble. Make it cause us to understand that there's a deeper place for us in the place of God. Father, open our hearts, open our lives to what you have in store for us. And I pray all these things in the wonderful and glorious name, Holy Spirit, come. We welcome you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. So how far, how deep, how much do we want to go in God? This is a great subject, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to begin it today. I wanted to begin it last Sunday, but we're beginning it today, and hopefully we'll have no more interruptions in any Sundays. Amen? Keep praying for sunshine on Sundays and a kind of an interruption of all the snow. But I'm going to be beginning on this today, and as I look at this subject, I feel it could take us some time. I'm going to move through this methodically. I'm going to move through this slowly, and I'm going to take each step as the Spirit of God deals with us in some of these things that we're going to face. When the Holy Spirit says, stop there, I'm going to stop. When the Holy Spirit says, take a little bit more time on this, I'll take a little bit more time on this. And I believe that you and I will be in agreement because you'll hear from the Holy Spirit as well. He'll be dealing with us all in these subjects. It's not just at this pulpit that we'll hear, but will all of us hear something what the Spirit of God wants to do for us. So are you ready for something that God wants to do for us? See, the church at Corinth is found in Paul's journey, and it's quite a place. If you were to go to Acts chapter 18, you would find that he first went to Corinth, and it was an interesting encounter that he had. Two letters that Paul wrote in all of his letters were to the church at Corinth. And some even say that there could have been a third letter written, but as of yet, we have not uncovered that third letter, whether it was either not written or never sent, or even perhaps it was a lost letter. But a lot of commentators believe that there could have been a third letter to the church of Corinth. How many know that letters are needed to go to the church these days from the Holy Spirit? So we have two very prominent detailed letters to us, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, which are the most intense, probably, of many of the letters that Paul sent out to some of the churches and the people. Holding 1 Corinthians next to the book of Revelations, those seven churches, I think that you could almost ideally fit 1 and 2 Corinthians into some of those seven churches that the book of Revelations deals with, and we see some of those churches experience some of the things that the Holy Spirit need to do with all those churches. Corinth, as I looked in some of the history of Corinth, was one of the four prominent centers in the New Testament account of the early churches, the other three being Jerusalem, Antioch, and Ephesus. One of Paul's first extended ministry times was at the city of Corinth. And on the first visit to Corinth, he remained for 18 months. You will find that in Acts chapter 18. And it's quite I read 18 afresh this morning and go through it sometimes, some of the things that Paul encountered. Paul was getting discouraged there, but the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul and said, look at Paul, don't leave here. I've got many more Christians in this city, so stay here. Don't give up now. Stay here. And so Paul was encouraged to stay there a little longer in the place of Corinth. If you were to look in that history of the city of Corinth as Paul found it, it was a real big cosmopolitan city composed of people from all kinds of cultural backgrounds. Isn't it good to be in a church today from all kinds of cultural backgrounds. Amen. Good to have you, Jimmy and San, here all the way from India. Praise God. And all the cultural backgrounds we have, Monty and Patricia, good to have you here from Cameroon, Sierra Leone, sorry, and folks here in the back from Cameroon. We have got people from all around the world as I look around. El Salvador, hallelujah. Isn't it great? We're a multicultural church from Nigeria, is it? Yes, hallelujah for the Dihimbos. So, you know, as Paul would have come into that cosmopolitan area of Corinth, he would have gone into a greatly cultural background of all different peoples. And being near the site of the Isthmian Games, they were held every 2 years. The Corinthians enjoyed both the pleasures of those games, and that's why Paul compared the race to winning a prize, winning a prize. He said, look around you. These guys are all competing in games. How about you for Jesus? And he kind of turned it around, turned the tables on them. And so people would come in there just for the pleasures of the games and the wealth and the visitors that it brought to the city of Corinth. And all the ships that would come in there carrying all the people coming into that very place. And sailors would come into the city to spend their money. How many know that sailors do that kind of stuff? They would spend their money on all the pleasures of the city of Corinth. And even in the age of sexual immorality that you and I are in, they had a lot back in those days as well. Corinth was known for its licentious lifestyle back in those days. The most significant pagan cult in Corinth was the cult of Aphrodite. The worship of Aphrodite had flourished in the old Corinth before its destruction in 146 BC. But when Rome came in, they liked what they heard about was going on there, and they rebuilt it all. They wanted to build back up the Temple of Aphrodite and get all the things going again, of which was making that city very prosperous. And a temple for worship of Aphrodite was located on the top of the Acropolis, of which you see a picture there. That's the old destructive one. They were located at the top of the Acropolis. The temple of the Aphrodite was so rich that it owned more than 1,000 temple slaves and more than 1,000 courtesans that experienced the court work, whom both men and women had dedicated to this goddess Aphrodite. And therefore, it was also an account of these women that the city was crowded with people and they grew rich. For instance, the ship captains freely squandered their money in the city of Corinth. And Paul's relationship to the Corinthians church was special in so many ways, tucked into this very pleasurable and immoral city. He was not only the founder of the congregation of the city of Corinth, but he continued in a close relation to it. It excited his care. You know, when you're in a church, you're excited about it. At least you should be. I hope that you're excited about Cornwall Pentecostal Church. I'm excited about it. I mean, it was terrible last week to not come to church. I looked at Betty and we said, what are we going to do? And we said, well, we've heard over the years where people say, well, I don't go to church anymore. My church is my TV. And so we thought, oh, I will turn on the TV. And then I looked and I said, Betty, the first thing I saw was Joel Osteen. Oh, I don't want to see his smile. You know. And so we decided that we're going to move on. And we got a couple other programs. I got saved in the People's Church. They have a new pastor in the People's Church in Toronto. His name is Brett McCade, I think his name was, if I remember right. And we watched that. And another one, Church of the Rock from out in Winnipeg. So we had church and we looked at each other and said, no, not the same. You know, I don't know how those people say they get church on TV, just not the same. I need you. You need us. We all need each other. We're the body of Christ. Amen. And we'll see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all about the parts of the body, how we're all needed. But, you know, it was Paul. He was excited about this church. And he looked at the management of the church in a really interesting way. As he looked at this church, and as you go through 1 and 2 Corinthians, you'll find out that this church tried his patience. His patience came to an end at times, and it really went through all that he was going through. But as I look at all the things that was trying his patience, the rewards were great at the times. You know, it's kind of like life, isn't it? You know, our patience wears thin at times. Ever said that? But then we have all those blessings that build it back up. And I believe that's what Paul was feeling in all the evidence of his affection for this body of Christ and the obedience. And it filled him with hopes for the church back in those days in Corinth. And the influence of his love for that church was special beyond compare, as you read some of the words, as he felt like a father to them. It was a loving father for a compromising son and promising son that where he was, even though they were tempted often. But whose character combined great excellence with great defects? You know, it's the same with all of us. You know, we may have great accomplishments, but we also have defects. We all know about that. No one is righteous, no, not one. We've all sinners, and we're all sinners, right? But as I go through this letter, it reveals his wisdom, his zeal, and the Holy Spirit talking to him, and his liberality of principle and practice in all manners, not affecting salvation, and his strictness in all matters of right and wrong. You go through this letter, and you'll find out all kinds of things, and perhaps above all the unwearied activity and the wonderful evidences that happen in this church. But there's another consideration that gives a special interest to these letters in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. More clearly than any part of the New Testament that we read, they show Christianity in conflict with heathenism, the unsaved, the things that are affecting us in every day of our lives, which I believe that this letter, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, is very important for our day and age, that we are confronted daily on a moment-by-moment basis by all the pleasures of the world, and we need to take a stand. And you'll read many times that Paul encouraged them to take that stand. We see as we read through this letter, 1 Corinthians, that the methods Paul adopted in founding the church in the midst of a refined and a corrupt people of all the things that were happening in Corinth, and how he answered all the questions of their conscience. So, should I take a brother to court? Should I do this? What about marriage? What about this? And he started going through with all of it. The gumption of the Holy Spirit, he would answer them as best he could. And I believe that we've got some real good answers as we go through the 1 Corinthians letter. There's principles relating to church discipline as you go through this, social relations. There's public worship. The nature of the church and the sacraments are shown here in chapter 11 are shown to us in the application to the church. And these letters, therefore, as you go through them, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, reference to all the practical measures that you and I face in the church, everyday life, the church among the heathen, and its conduct. Christian lands. The most important parts of this letter are really interesting, but we have to get back to the Word of God. We stand upon the Word of God. You know, I looked at this, and I found this in the teacher's commentary, just up to chapter 14 about the gifts. But you'll find in the first four chapters, it talks about the divisions in the church. Chapters 5 and 6 talks about some discipline that was needed in the church. Remember, Paul said, I should come to you with a rod. Discipline was needed. Then it talked about marriage and divorce. How many know that 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is needed today? Doctrinal disputes, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 to 10. And the misunderstanding of spiritual charismatic gifts. I believe that a good starting place, if you're going to understand this letter, is to go back and read it through. And I encourage you to read this through, not just at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but to go through the whole letter. But I want to give you the first portion of Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. After he left there, after he spent 18 months, he heard the things that were happening in Corinth. He heard evidences of the reports that were coming back to him. And so this is what he says at the very opening of his letter. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. That's how he starts off. I want to encourage you. You're sanctified in Christ Jesus. You are called to be saints. In spite of all those things that are around, you're sanctified and you're called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ. Just like Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, they began to call upon the name of the Lord. With all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Corinthian congregation is described as those who are sanctified. We need to hear that every day of our lives. God called you. He's got a job for you. He's got plans and purposes. He's sanctified for you, though, you for those very purposes. He will open doors that nobody can open. He will close doors that nobody can close. He will look after you. God is in control of our lives. And so Paul wanted to let them know that. And so you're sanctified. You've been called. You begin to call upon the name of the Lord as those around us, both theirs and ours, are doing. That was all their practical condition that they need to be reminded about in their day-by-day living. And that's why we come to church. We need to be reminded every day, hey, you're sanctified. You're called. You're pulled out of the world. You're no longer living for this world. You're living for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be reminded of that when we come to church. You should be worshiping Jesus Christ. You should be calling upon the name of the Lord. You should be standing strong for Jesus in spite of all the things that are happening around us. You need to stand tall for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The church belongs to God. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. So the church belongs to God. It doesn't belong to man. You and I are here in his presence today in his church. You are the body of Christ, his church. See, had the Corinthians realized this, I think that Paul could have foregone a lot of the stuff that he wrote about. But their problem of division might not have existed. And those who make up the church have been sanctified and set apart. So you need to be reminded of that. So if you're sanctified and set apart, where's this division coming from? Some are saying, I'm from Peter. Some are saying, I'm of Apollos. Some are saying, I go with Paul. Come on, church. We're with Jesus Christ. That's what he's trying to get across. Trying to tell them, stand firm. Stop all this foolishness that is going on. You know, as I was preparing this initial doctrinal message today for our introduction to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I was just sitting there. I said, God, there's so much stuff here. I can hardly wait to get into it. I'm just, you know, excited. I'm ready for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not just to talk about them. I'm waiting for the operation. A little bit pumped up, okay? But as I was sitting there, I said, you know, God, I just, this is tremendous. This is a blessing to read this word and see some of the things that you've got here, the church. And as I listen on Wednesday nights for the book of Acts, and I mean, this is the church coming alive. This is a church in operation. This is the church going forth. This is the church facing all kinds of persecution. This is the church taking on everything, the devil and the world and all the stuff that comes at us. And here we have the word of God before us, and sometimes we don't even read it. So as I look at the church in Corinth, two words came to me. I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you'll hear Paul talk about the cross, how it's foolishness to those around us. They're perishing. But to us, the power. It's the power, the cross. So as I was thinking of this letter, I couldn't help but think that's the first chapter, the cross. Then all of a sudden, there's another word that comes out very strong through this. Even with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're going to deal with this. But in comes the correction. The cross and the correction. Those were two words I just really felt as I looked at 1 Corinthians, the cross and correction. And so today we're starting on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, okay? We're going to start our engines today. And I want us to go along and to really understand that what God wants us to do today. In other words, as I bring some of these things to you, it's been perhaps a while since you've heard any messages on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you've never heard any messages on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've been in a Pentecostal church for years and never seen any operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I really believe that this is a very important, timely time to get into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Will you agree with me? The Word of God constantly prepares us. Constantly is calling to us. Do you hear it? It calls to us. It prepares us. It excites us. And I think that as we get here, that we are lacking one thing very diligently in our lives that we've missed and abused and put aside, and that is Holy Spirit. I really believe that that's what we lack in our lives is Holy Spirit. You know, if we don't have faith, we lack Holy Spirit. If we don't believe believability to be able to see something happen, we lack Holy Spirit. If we are lacking in many areas of our life, I believe that we're lacking in Holy Spirit. So I think that we need to get back to the root, the ground, the source, and Holy Spirit, where He takes us and how He leads us. We need to get back to say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Holy Spirit, do you want me to talk to that person in the restaurant? Holy Spirit, do you want me to take this over to my neighbor? Holy Spirit, do you want me to do this today? Holy Spirit, do you want me to say those words to my relative? Holy Spirit, do you want me to do this today? We need to get back to matching in stride for the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do with us in our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, I often say that you and I are the ones responsible for us. Do you want more of Jesus? I do. I want more of Jesus. I want more Holy Spirit in my life. And I always ask God to forgive me because I put my hand on this tap. I said, God, no, don't do that in this service. I'll just turn it off a little more. You know, and I put my hand on that tap. And I've constantly over the years hear the Holy Spirit, and I do it time and time again where I put my hand on the tap and I won't let Holy Spirit adjust the tap for what He wants to do in my life and in the service. And I ask your forgiveness and I ask His forgiveness in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm taking my hand off the tap, and you need to take the hand off your tap as well and allow Holy Spirit to come to life in us. Amen? Hallelujah. I believe that God wants to wake us up. I wonder why the revivals were called great awakenings. You ever heard that term? They were called great awakenings. It's like something was dead or asleep or mesmerized or just put somewhere where they're kind of lost in space. And they need to be shaken and woken up and all that comes with that. You know, I was in the prayer room this morning. I was praying over the service. God, just, you know, come in this service. First Corinthians, gifts of the Holy Spirit. I just want to see something happen today. I'm believing for something to happen today in our lives. Would you believe with me? But, you know, all of a sudden two words came to me. Rise up. Amen. And I was in the background. What do you mean, rise up? And then all of a sudden, I felt, you know, like if anybody ever seen anybody been, you know, in a coffin, in a casket, you know, for dead for hours, if not days, and somebody come in and pray over that casket and they rise from the dead? Anybody? Not in India? Like, not in Canada either. I haven't seen it. You know, anywhere in the world? Like, you know, I think that's a miracle for Jesus, you know. That casket was going by, the nain, and all of a sudden just touched it and popped open. There the person came back to life. Lazarus, you know, I really believe that if we become mesmerized or dull or dried up or dead or something in our faith, then I believe that somebody needs to shout at those dead bones and rise back up, come back to life. And rise up. So, you know, whatever our need is this morning, I believe that Jesus can do it. So take your hands off the tap, and you get as much of God as you want. Not as much as He wants to give you, because He wants to give you so much more than what you believe that you could ever take in. He wants to give you a lot. So we need to get our hands off the handle of the top and just say, God, go ahead and do something today in my life and our church lives. Amen? Awake. Awake. You ever heard anybody say that to you lying in bed? Hey, get up, sleepyhead. Time to get up. The alarm's ringing. You ever read that in the Old Testament? Sound the alarm. It's going off. The alarm's going off. It's Man, like Betty and I were saying this week, with all the stuff we're seeing on the news, we saw these two lesbian women. They have a little boy, 3 years old, and they feel that he wants to become a girl. And so they want to take him through that process, three-year-old child. You know, as I look at the world that we're living in and all the stuff that's happening, you know, around us, that, I mean, we could be here all day just talking about the news that is happening. Betty and I looked at each other, and I was reading Psalm 13. go into Psalm 13 sometimes, and David starts out, how long, O Lord? How long? How long? How long? As a matter of fact, I underlined it four times in Psalm 13 where David says, how long? And I looked at Betty and I said, you know, how long? Oh, the Jesus says in the Word, as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And I'm saying, God, our dog's gone now, no more crate, so you can come back now. But how long, Lord? As I look at the world and I look what's happening and I look at the rampant immorality all around us, and it's all around us. You don't have to travel to New York City. It's right here in Cornwall. It's everywhere. It's all around us. Go into the shops, the stores. It's all around us. How long? And I really believe that Jesus is sounding the alarm. Church, it's time. It's time to move in the operations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is a day and age where we need Holy Spirit to move in our lives and to hear the voice of Holy Spirit. Are you with me? You know, as I look at some of the Word of God, I just looked at that, awake, 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 and I went back and I looked at that word sleep, and I went to some of the scriptures that kind of brought this to my mind, and I read in Luke chapter 9, verse 32, when they're on the Mount of Transfiguration, that says that Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. Would you want to be sleeping when Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah? My eyes would be popping out of my head like crazy to see this. But here they are up on the mountain with Jesus, and it says they were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw. Fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. They almost missed it. They almost missed it. Then I read in the letter to the church at Rome, Paul said this, and do this knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. Come on, church. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. And later, Paul said to the church at Ephesus, therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Hallelujah. Then to the church at Thessalonica, he said, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. This is a day and age we have to stay focused. Stay in line. In other words, the Word of God is our alarm clock. Awake! Get up! Sleepyhead! Do you hear it? Speaking to us. You know, I was reading in Matthew chapter 13 a little while ago, parable of the sower, types of soil. Remember the four different types, the wayside, the rocky soil, the weeds and all that, but then there was good soil there as well. And it says the good soil brought forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold because it was good soil. I mean, that's evidence for it. And then as the disciples, you know, they're all listening to this parable that Jesus is talking about. They're all walking along, and, oh, good parable and all that. And they get aside with Jesus after and say, come on, Jesus, why are you always speaking in parables? Like, we want to understand. We want to get a grasp on what you're talking about. And so Jesus said this very clearly, Matthew chapter 13, and he talked to them, and he quoted from the book of Isaiah chapter 6, and he said, and in them, as you look at the world, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and you shall not understand. Seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. In other words, they are blocked off from what Jesus is saying. But then he says this to the disciples, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And that's exactly what the church needs today, is eyes to see and ears to hear. He said, blessed are you for your eyes and ears. Seven churches, Revelations. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Are we listening? Are we listening? Hallelujah. Awake! Get up! Get out! Stop it! Don't do that anymore! We cannot be asleep. Amen? I mean, if you look at our world and Jesus coming back pretty soon, I want to be awake to the things of God. I want to be very, very close to the things of God. I want to be awake to the Word of God. I want to be awake to the times we're in, living in. I want to be awake to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk a little later on about how some people don't believe we need the gifts today. I believe that's a lie from the pit of hell. We need gifts in the Holy Spirit. We cannot slack off. So today, and one of my conclusions, do we need a refreshing in Holy Spirit? Do we need to return to some good, sound teaching on Holy Spirit? Do we need a refilling of Holy Spirit today? Or maybe even never been baptized in Holy Spirit, maybe you need to be baptized today in the Holy Spirit. Take your hand off the tap, and you'll get what God wants to give you. Amen? Well, I don't know if I could do that. You know, I speak in tongues or jump around or, turn the tap down. Roll on the carpet, swing from chandeliers. Come on, Pastor. Oh, my goodness. Oh, get that. But if you get your hand off the tap, Penny and John, remember in Morrisburg, Pastor Pitt, we used to have a ball in that church. There was a young guy that came in, got filled with the Holy Spirit at the altar. He was a young guy, glasses. And he was up at the altar, and he just came forward, and he had his hands very, very calm, reserved, fell, and all. All of a sudden, he just started jumping. Oh! 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 Wow! He started going crazy, like all the eyes are on him at the front. And then he's going back, and then he was looking around at everybody, and he started speaking in tongues. And then he said, and I'm standing at the altar, I'm just, wow, that's cool. You know, I'm really watching this. And he's going back, and he I don't know if he knew what to say, but he said, holy Moses, is this good? Yeah. Do you remember him? No? Oh, too bad. I just wanted to get it by two or three witnesses. Hallelujah. We need to be open again to the experiences of God. Everything in the Word of God has been supplied to us. It's written on the page. All you have to do is take the pages and live them. That's all you have to do. My prayer is at any time or even after we finish these messages that we would be more spiritual, more sensitive, more open, more vulnerable to the giftings of the Holy Spirit. And I feel that we have a greater spiritual ability than we previously had. We would walk to church and we would be stronger in Holy Spirit than when we came in. I believe that that would be something that would happen to us in our individual lives as we live for Him. Amen? Again, the tap is in our own hands. It's up to you what you want to do. You know, I was reading another conclusion here. Sorry. Reading from Jane Warner Wallace. I don't know if you've ever read his books. The famous one they wrote was called Cold Case Christianity. He was a detective for many years, and he applied many of those things that he used in being a detective to the coming to the Word of God and finding out how Jesus did this, and is the Word of God real? And he went back to all the kinds of the stuff that happened many years ago, and he documented it. And so he's a cold case Christianity writer, police detective. But in he sends me articles because I'm on his listing for the articles that come, and I love some of the articles that come my way, and it's really interesting. But one article that came my way, and let me just see if I've got it here for you somewhere around. Oh yes, here it is. One of the articles that came my way was really interesting because he said there's when we get to the final image place, heaven, there's four things that we won't need anymore. That kind of caught my attention. Four things that we won't need anymore. So let me just put them up here for you. We won't need to have faith anymore. I mean, when you're in heaven, you got them. You're there. Oh, what a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. Amen? You won't need faith anymore. You know, when you get to heaven, you will no longer need to read the Bible chronologically. You won't need to study the Word of God. You'll no longer need all those commentator books or those help source books or anything else, because there He is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Word of God standing before you. The bright light will shine on your face, and all your questions you've got right now will all be answered in that day. Amen? You won't need to study God's Word anymore. Hallelujah. Another thing is, you won't need to reach others with the gospel. Everybody's going, whew. Good, I don't want to talk to my neighbor anymore. Oh, I never liked that. You won't need to reach across to in the restaurant anymore and tell them about Jesus Christ. You won't have to drop those tracks anymore and run. You won't have to share anything with anybody, because you won't need to reach anymore. Oh, sorry, I skipped that one. You won't need to comfort anymore. Serge, when I heard about your brother, you know, it just rocked my boat. You know, when we hear about a loved one going and things that happen to us, it just breaks our heart. We're living in a world with all these hurts and pains, tragedies, diseases, sickness, infirmities, and things that happen in our life, and you know, relatives that won't talk to us anymore because we love Jesus, and all these things that happen in our life, you know, and we need the church. That's why I love coming to church. You know, I get comfort here. I don't know about you, but I just come in here and I need the body. We just love each other. When I come in Sunday mornings, we're all out in the foyer hugging each other. Oh, how you doing? Oh, you know, no school this week. Yeah. Just joyful like He is, you know. I love coming to church and hear all the things. Yeah, what a week it was, you know. Then you go out and you talk to people, oh, feeling down, Pastor. What's wrong? And they start sharing some things with you that they've gone through. And you say, oh, Father, just comfort them. Oh, God, just, what do I need? I don't know what to do. Father, You do. You know what to do with them. I just want to be here for them. I want to be praying for them. I want to walk with them, talk with them, encourage them. That's what we should be doing in the church. But you know, when we get to heaven, won't need to comfort anybody anymore. No more. Did you take your medication today? Won't need to do that anymore. Did you remember to do this? Did you walk the dog? No, you won't have to do all those things. You won't have to go through all those things, because we'll be in heaven and it'll be a glorious place. So those are four things that we won't need anymore. But as I was reading that list, I added one thing to it. We won't need the gifts of the Holy Spirit anymore, because we'll be with their Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. With the saved, the ones of every nation and of every tribe and every language will be all there, praising God, the Lion and the Lamb. Hallelujah. But here we are. We need them now. We need Holy Spirit now. So, awake! Rise up! Get out of the sleep and come prayed up, hungry over these next few weeks. Is the pizza there, Betty? I thought I saw her walking by there. Is it there? Does anybody smell pizza? Because, you know, it would be very terrible to have or hard to do an altar call at this point with pizza aroma floating around in the church. So, you know, I just want to say to you, church, that over these next few weeks, kind of like the prayer that you would be praying, say, God, I need You more than I ever did before. We've got some pretty rough times that are happening around us. And God, I've been kind of neglectful of the gifts and neglectful of the Holy Spirit. And so, God, I need you. It's not going to happen on any one Sunday, but it's going to take time. Maybe it'll take 15 Sundays of me coming to the altar, Lord. Maybe it'll take 40 or 50, I don't know. But God, my determination, my drive, is that I just want more of you. And so God, help each of us this morning to be open to altar times. Over these next few weeks, I pray, Lord God, over these weeks or months, however, Holy Spirit, you want to take us into the gifts of the Holy Spirit, even though we just merely introduced the subject today. I pray over these next few weeks and months, Lord God, that there will be a change in us, every one of us, a change for the better spiritually. I pray, Lord God, awaken us from our sleep. If there's any death here, God, I claim life. You said that you came to give us life and more abundantly. So I'm claiming that for our congregation. Lord, over these 10 years, I thank you, Lord, that you have called me to be a pastor in this church. I thank you for the family of God here. Some have come, some have gone, some have backslid, but God, you have remained the same. You never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forgive us when we change. Forgive us when we lax. Forgive us, Lord, when we aren't on target. So help us, Lord. If we should have another 10 years, make us make a mark. Allow us to make a mark. Allow us to see things happen of which we'd only dreamed about, only thought about, only thought could happen. But God, bring them to reality and help us to get our hands off the taps of our spirituality and just allow you to be yourself in our lives, Lord, and to overcome all of our fears and all of our intrepidations, Lord, and all the things that hinder us from going deeper in you, Lord. I pray that you would just block those things out and cause growth in our lives and spring us forth like a well gushing forth, Lord God, like out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water, and that we will know the depth of Holy Spirit in a new way, in a new fashion, Lord God, that we would just revisit the Word of God and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and understand that you've got some great things in store for us. So, God, I pray, open our eyes, open our ears, open our spirituality, open us up, Lord God, and let the Holy Spirit take control of these times together. And we will praise you and give you all the honor and the glory and the blessing and promise to you, Lord God, that whatever you give us, we'll use for your glory. Whatever you bestow upon us, Lord God, we'll give you the glory for allowing that gift to flow through us. And thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do in our lives in these days ahead. And we say, thank you, Jesus, in your name we pray. And everybody shouted, amen. So are you ready for pizza?